Your Bible tonight to the 33rd Psalm, one that I'm sure is at least some of the part of the Psalm is a little familiar to you. Psalm chapter 33. I want to look at verse 8 of our text. We're going to look at some other in this particular chapter tonight, but I believe verse 8 is the key verse of this chapter, because here the psalmist declared, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him." Lord, we thank You tonight that we have this opportunity to assemble here in this house of worship. We thank You tonight, dear Lord, that we can come and worship in spirit and in truth, and we pray for those tonight who protect and guard those freedoms. We ask You to give them a special blessing at this time. We pray for these many on our prayer list this evening, and we pray especially tonight for little Morgan and Brother Si, that You might reach down and touch them. Heavenly Father, tonight we pray for us as a church that we might hold high the standard tonight of Calvary, that we might let the light of Christ shine tonight. And Lord, tonight we ask You now to make us more thankful for all the blessings You've blessed us with. And we thank You tonight for all the things You've done for us. We ask these things tonight in the name of Jesus our Savior. Amen and amen. In the beginning of this psalm, the psalmist talks about the awesomeness of God. He talks about how that we should rejoice and how that we should praise the Lord. In verse 2, he said, "Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto Him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise." We are to praise and rejoice in the Lord. God tonight is our God. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and the judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap, and He layeth up the depth in the storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. When I read that verse number 8, it reminds me sometime of a fellow, when you go somewhere and you've never been there before. And I remember my man I used to know and work with, and they went on vacation, and he was a big hunter and a big fisherman. He had a young boy. I guess the boy was about 9 or 10 at the time, and they went, and when they went to the Bass Pro Shop head place, I believe up in Missouri is where it's at. And he said when they walked in, Jason just began to look around. He looked at his daddy and he said, "Wow." You know, when we look around what God has done tonight, maybe we ought to just say, "Wow." You think about that. We look up and we see the creation of God. And the Bible says the Lord spoke and it was done. Now that's an amazing thing tonight. Let all the earth stand in awe of God. He just spoke and it was done. And you know, people have a problem with that. That's why they don't believe in creation. They don't believe God could speak into existence all that you and I see tonight. They want to try to figure out some logical, scientific explanation tonight of why that we are here and how all of these solar systems developed, how the earth developed, and all of the things tonight, and they're always looking for some scientific explanation of it. Very simple. The Lord spoke and it was done. And that's why we ought to just stand in awe and say, well, what a God we have tonight. Amen. Right. But then, really the heart tonight of what I want to say to you begins in verse number 12. Because here the Lord says something that I want you to listen to very carefully. Blessed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Now in particular, the psalmist here is talking about the nation of Israel. In general tonight, and in our day, he's talking about the nation tonight who allows the God to be the Lord. And he said, blessed is that nation. For many years, our country allowed the God to be the Lord. That doesn't mean tonight that every individual in the United States of America was a Christian. It doesn't mean that everyone in a position of authority was a Christian. But it does mean tonight that for many, many years of our history, the majority of our history, we allowed the God to be our Lord. He was the guiding influence in our laws and in our lives. But tonight, in 2009, our president declared in a press conference in Turkey that America does not consider itself a Christian nation. We are a nation of citizens united with the same ideals. So what the president of our nation is declaring is that God is no longer our Lord, that he would not be the guiding principle of our lives and our laws. There was a British historian who lived in the late 1700s. His name was Edward Gibbons, and he studied for 20 years the Roman Empire, and he wrote a set of books. I believe there are 6 volumes in it, and it's titled The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire. It's very tedious reading. If you want to read it, you are welcome to do so. Recently, I thought about some things that he wrote. And he had summarized the 5 reasons for the fall of the Roman Empire, of why that empire fell as it was at that time the greatest empire on the face of the earth. And as you read those reasons tonight, you see a great parallel of what's transpired in our own nation. You see a great parallel to what is happening every day and of the society in which you and I live. It is scary tonight in some ways. Tonight is burdened in some ways, because it shows forth this evening what many people may be facing yet in the future. How long this nation will stand, only the Lord knows this evening. But as I observe the things that's going on in our country, as I observe the things that's going on around us, and how tonight it's becoming society that we're living in, as I look around the young children who are growing up in this society and realizing that the things that they're being taught, and please don't misunderstand me, we live in a great part of the country. I've told you that before. But we tonight do not understand sometimes the things that are being taught to our children in other parts of the country. And these children, as they're being taught these things, they're growing up to become the leaders of tomorrow. Now you think about that this evening. They're growing tonight, and they're being taught from a very young age things that are not right according to biblical standards and values this evening. And they will become the leaders of tomorrow. That's scary. Now, I understand tonight, I'm not a pessimist. I'm an optimist. I'm going to show you that in a minute. But think about that. This morning, in the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, there was something that rung a bell with me. You see, the first thing that Edward Gibbons said that led to the demise and the decline of the Roman Empire was the rapid increase of divorce and the undermining of the dignity and sanctity of the home, which is the basis of human society. Now, that's not being said by me. That's what's being said by Edward Gibbon, a historian tonight. And he said that the fundamental unit in society was the home. And once the home goes, everything else will go sooner or later. This morning, as I said in the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, there was a man wrote to Ann Landers. And I can't remember the exact wording of it, but he said this: I'm the father of two daughters, and I'm wondering what advice I need to give them when they get to the point they're ready to move out and live with their boyfriends. And Lander's answer basically was, well, they'll be okay. It's okay. And one of the things I remember that she said, the better educated they were, the more likely they were to be compatible. Not getting into all of that. But here is an individual seeking advice about the family, about the home, about allowing some kind of immorality to go on. You see why we're in the danger tonight, ladies and gentlemen? The home is being undermined. Marriage is being done away with. I cannot imagine. When I read that, it didn't... I can't register that. The first thing I thought of was, if Kelly had came and asked me that, the second thing I thought, if a man had come and asked Bruce, she's just sitting here. I mean, I can't imagine me even wanting to know that. I can't imagine me going and ask Mr. Maxey, I'll assure you that. But it's undermining our society. The home is being destroyed slowly and surely. We have same-sex marriages. We have people living together without the benefit of marriage. We have, in this nation, a majority of the homes are single-parent homes. And we're seeking advice from Ann Landers. Do you see why we're in trouble tonight? The Lord's no longer our God. We're looking for answers tonight in so many different ways. Edward Gibbons said that the Roman Empire fell, number one, because the home was being destroyed. And there was no longer a family unit. There was no longer that sense of belonging to a family. And it is amazing tonight, and I use this term because that's what they use today, and that's the only term I know to use, a blended family. And please don't get mad at me tonight. I was part of that. But it's amazing tonight, and I see these things, and I wonder, man, where are we at? How sad is this evening? The family is slowly being destroyed. And not only do we destroy the family by these immoral ways, but now the government wants to step in. You're not supposed to discipline children anymore. Every once in a while I think, well, I wish that had been in effect a time or two in my young life. Amen. The second time that plow line came down. Now listen to me. The government now wants to tell you how to raise your children. They have more control over them than actually you do when it really comes down to it, sad to say. As I said, we live in a protected part of the country. You would be surprised what goes on in many other parts of our nation tonight. And it's slowly easing down. The family is being destroyed and taken away from us because, you see, Satan understands that God started the family. And if he can undermine the family and do away with the family, then tonight he can move on to the next step, and it makes it so much easier for him this evening. The second reason that he gave was higher and higher taxes and the spending of public monies on bread and circuses. Basically, they were taxed to death to provide excesses for corruption. We're taxed to death. I don't want to complain, but we are taxed to death. The average American works, I think, into May now to pay his taxes. Every dime the average American makes into the month of May goes to pay their taxes, all the taxes they pay. And they're always looking for new sources of revenue. And then you read what they spend it on. Isn't it amazing this evening? We see this cycle as it goes and it goes and it goes. And every time we look up, we've got to save money. So we won't let the old people go to the doctor. But we'll provide abortions. We got to save money, so we'll cut out here a 50 cent, but we're going to spend $20 million over here. This is in my district. I need this to get reelected, passed so they can get a lot of money. We have no true patriots in our country. I'm convinced tonight that as I look around the nation and the people that are representing us in our government tonight are not patriots. They're corrupt politicians who are searching and trying to get by and get anything they can get for themselves. Somebody says, I'm generalizing. I'm not saying there are not some good people there probably, but I'm being honest with you tonight. You begin to deal with them and you begin to look at them and you begin to see when this country was organized and when we came into power, men were farmers and laborers and lawyers and doctors and other ways to make their living. And they went to these conventions and these congresses and they voted there for the benefit of the people. Today we have a nation of career politicians who've never done anything but work for the government. That's been their whole entire life. They've spent in some Bureau of the government. They're a politician hacky tonight. And they care nothing about you, and they care nothing about me, and they care nothing about the country. And it's going to continue that way. The third reason that he gave was the mad craze for pleasure and sport. Sport becoming every year more and more exciting and brutal. Well, we live in that day, don't we? Who are the highest paid people in the country tonight? It's the people who either participate in some kind of sport or who tonight preside some kind of, I guess, what we would call entertainment. It's amazing to me that we can pay somebody millions of dollars every year to teach people a kid's game. Not being ugly, I mean, I'm being honest with you tonight. I mean, football, baseball, basketball, kid games, something to enjoy. So we're going to pay this guy all these millions of dollars so that he can coach this team and teach them a better way to play a kid's game. Well, that's really helping society, isn't it? And I'm proud of the Sunlight Singers, okay? Great talent. I don't think there's any better singing group in the world. But they're not worth what they pay some of these people. I'm not being ugly. I'm serious. I cannot imagine, you know, how some people can get this astronomical amount of money for a one-night appearance. I'm thinking, Lord, let me sing one night. That's all I want. Can you imagine that? And what's happening? We see this. And it's taking place. And you know what? As you look at it, I want you to think about this. I don't know the exact percentage, but a high percentage of it takes place on the Lord's Day. Isn't that amazing? So that they can draw people away from the house of God. The fourth reason he gave was the building of gigantic armaments when the real enemy is within and the decadence of people themselves. They were building armaments, but the people within had no will to fight. They had no morals to fight. They had no sense of national pride. And they decayed from within, and the hordes and the barbarians overran them tonight. They begin to hire professional soldiers and mercenaries to come and protect much of their borders. And they were overrun tonight. It's amazing tonight how many private security firms we have protecting our interest. You'd be amazed tonight, Blackwater and many of the others tonight. Have no sense of national pride or patriotism. Care about nothing but the almighty dollar. And we're failing from within because we have no will to fight anymore. It used to be that tonight that people wanted to fight for the nation. Now they say it's better red than dead. Number five was the decay of religious faith. Faith fading into mere form, which had lost all contact with reality. Paul said it this way, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We look around tonight at the decay of religious faith in our country. How many people have real faith tonight? I see people looking for the solutions to the answers of life. When they come to our churches, instead of giving them the solutions from the Word of God, want to figure out a way to get them in church and keep them there. And see what the psalmist said was, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And then he said in verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, and the thoughts of his heart to all generations. That's the eternalness of God. There is no other book on the face of God's green earth that is forever. Honestly tonight, a medical book from the 1800s would be very little use in today's society. A law book, a geographical book, all these books that we could look back from years ago would be of very little use to us. But the Bible tonight is still standing strong. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. God's Word's going to be there, folks. That's where it's all about. You see, he said, notice what he said in verse number 16, there is no king saved by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. We can think how powerful and strong and smart and brilliant and intelligent we are, and all the technology and all the weapons that we have. When God gets ready, it's over. Now think about that. You know, that's what he's saying here. He's using it in the vernacular of his time, but put it in our time tonight, you know, a nuclear weapon is a vain thing for safety. I don't know what this crazy cahoot over in North Korea is going to do. I really don't. He could send a weapon this way, you know. And verse 18 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that have hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. The only hope and the only shield and the only protection we have tonight is going to come from God.
Amen. That's right.
Tonight, we need to get back to the Lord. I'm afraid tonight that as this nation progresses and goes forward, we get further away from God. But tonight, my hope, my help, my safety, and my protection still is going to have to come from the Almighty tonight. I don't know what we might go through as a nation. I don't know what things may happen. But I still know I've got a hope eternal in the heavens tonight.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah. We're on a dangerous slope tonight. We're headed in the wrong direction. But he also said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall confess their sins and pray, that I will hear from heaven and heal their land. We need to have a time of prayer and return to the Word of God. If we don't, the future is not going to be as bright as the past, I believe. All right, I do appreciate you coming this evening. If you'll stand with me, Brother Bruce Pugh and Barbara would come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. We ask that they take this very simple message and use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. His precious holy name I pray.